Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show, live today at McGurk's in Horsham. It is MLB trade deadline day, and we are here all day. By the way, the Fanatic going to be here at noon. Come on out.
All right.
Have some lunch, hang out. Joe Giglio, Hugh Douglas, Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. We have our guy, the Bulldog, Dave Uram, at the Surfside deadline desk.
What was that?
Was that Uram?
No, that was Jack.
Yeah, come on, man. It's the Bulldog.
The afternoon guys do that every hit. Yeah.
Sounds like I got bit by a dog.
Yeah, I did. Right in the face.
Sorry to hear that. Yes.
Did you bite him back?
That's why I got bit. I bit the dog had my dog in its, you know.
But then why did you decide to bite the dog?
Because I was trying to rip the dog's mouth
kind of dog
open.
Was it?
It was a pit bull. And I was trying to rip it open. It was like the, you know, unrippable jaws. So I was
you bit the dog.
I was like, it's killing my dog. I bit it, and then it let go of my dog, and it attached to my face. You know?
Did you save the dog though?
215.
Yeah, my dog lived.
And you almost went to the upper room.
Yeah, I had over 100 stitches in my face. Yeah,
that's a lot of stitches.
That's a great pet owner, is what that is.
That's a lot of stitches.
I know how y'all feel about animals, but that I'd have just got another dog.
No
disrespect.
You can't let your dog just get
very touching, Hugh.
No disrespect.
Gotta have a feel.
I'd have poured out a little liquor for the dog, but I like pit bull. No, I wouldn't.
I didn't think.
Well, you're afraid of most animals, Hugh. So I'm not surprised.
I'm just saying. All respect. No, I love animals.
No one's afraid of nature more than your dog.
I love them, but I mean that dog would have went to the upper.
All right. Well, we've already kind of welcomed our guests on the High Hopes Hour right now as we discuss the MLB trade deadline. James Seltzer, Jack Fritz. All right, guys, and I'm excited for both of your opinions on this because James, we got yours a little bit right at the end of the morning show. The Phillies make a huge deal this morning to acquire Luis Arraez from the Giants. They also get Caleb Killian back in the deal, separate deal for Brooks Raley. But they give up something significant. You know, Ramon Marquez, a right-handed pitcher who had kind of zoomed up the prospect rankings here. Jack, your first thought, Arraez is a guy that has always been a fun one to follow and kind of imagine in a Phillies uniform. He's here now, but it was not at no cost. Your first thoughts on the deal?
Oh, well, everyone who grew up on old school baseball is going to love Luis.
Yes!
Small ball, baby! Yeah.
And 21 before the year, strikeouts the whole year!
Yeah, it's awesome. And he has had a very, very good bounce back year. And the only reason he is now valuable instead of what he's been the last couple years, which isn't that valuable, is he has turned into a good defensive second baseman.
Yep.
I haven't watched him day in, day out. I find it hard to believe he's all of a sudden in the elite defensive second baseman because he's never been that. So getting him and his bat, now I do think going from the cavernous outfield of San Fran to here is going to hurt him a little bit, but he also should have more home runs. Not that he's ever going to hit like 15 to 20, but some of those balls should go out that probably don't go out in San Fran. So it was a hefty price. I think Killian's actually interesting. I'm excited to kind of dig in on his stuff. Reminds me a little bit of when they traded for Bolin. He still has 5 years of control left. But I loved Ramon Marquez, and it's a hefty price for a half year of Luis Arraez. I also don't think it means that they're not going to pay him. Like, if he is passable at second base, that only has a year left after this year, so they could get creative if he goes off. But I'm very, very curious to see, one, where he bats in the lineup, which I'm sure we'll get to, and two, if this means they're done. But on the surface, getting Arraez to play second base, changing up the chemistry a little bit on offense, and being someone who would be a pest to get out in the postseason is certainly exciting.
James, your feeling, I know you reacted as we all did on the morning show, but now that you've had an hour to kind of let it sit and think about what they did, your thought on Arraez?
Yeah, I think two things can be true at once. I'm happy Luis Arraez is a Philly. He makes a ton of sense for this team. We all know the complaints and what we've seen the last few years in the playoffs and the chase and the strikeout and the inability to put the ball in play. He is the perfect guy to solve those type of issues. He puts the ball in play. He doesn't strike out like we talked about. He's, you know, a multiple-time batting champion. So on the surface, he makes the Phillies better. I'm happy he's a Philly. I hate that they had to give up Ramon Marquez for half a season of him. You know, I mean, Jack said on our pod earlier, you know, a couple weeks ago, earlier this season, that for him, Ramon Marquez had passed Gage Wood as the Phillies' top pitching prospect. And whether or not you believe that, I mean, he is a legit pitching prospect. And you're getting half, and look, they could re-sign him, but you are trading for half a season of Arise. I'm happy he's here. I think it was a lot to give up. Like, I would not, personally, considering their situation, the Scooble trade, their real chances to win it all, I wanted them to make moves, but I personally, as much as I'm happy to have Arise here, I probably would not have traded Marquez for half a season.
You know what? The last time he won a batting title was in 2024, but the question I have for you guys is this. Okay, who moves? Because, you know, he plays second base. And, you know, we've had a hole at shortstop. Well, we've had an issue at
shortstop.
With
the player there, we got a hole, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a hole.
We have an issue there. So where do you think he goes to? Well, who do you think moves around? Who are the players that move around when we try to fix this outfield?
Well, I mean, it's the early reporting is Harper back to the outfield. My only thing on that is it's almost like I'll believe it when I see it. From the standpoint of, it's a very easy thing to put out now in case you don't make another trade.
Like you're set. Like you're telling everyone, we're good now.
Yeah. So you put it out now. If you don't make another trade, okay, you know, it's Harper to the outfield. But I would be very disappointed if that is the only move. Like, you theoretically, you get worse at every position defensively. Like, stop moving up.
Not theoretically, definitely.
Stop third base is.
Whereas if you move Trey to the outfield instead, you're at least, you know, you're improving at shortstop, and you're not getting worse anywhere. You know, at center, you know, outfield, wherever Trey is theoretically, but yeah, you know, you'll take that trade.
I guess I just accepted that Trey is not moving off shortstop until the end of the year.
Is that, I'm curious you got there because I was curious what you thought about that. Is that because he doesn't want to, or they're afraid to ask him to?
Yeah, I think it's both. I don't think he wants to move off shortstop. I think that he wants to try to build a Hall of Fame career as a shortstop. And they signed him as a shortstop. And I think that they just, I don't think they want to cross that bridge just yet, especially midseason.
So wait a minute, we're recklessly speculating here. So you don't even think they asked?
No, him. I don't think so. Well, I think they know where he stands. And at least with Harper going back to right field, he has played right field. I mean, Trey has not actually played center field since like 2018. And he has had like little hamstring issues, little lower body stuff. He's maybe dealing with one right now. Having him just running all over center field, I think, could hurt him long-term injury-wise as well.
All right, let's say it's Harper to right, Bohm to first, Stott to third, Arise at second.
Yeah.
Are they a better defensive team?
No.
No.
Is it worth it to get Arise's bat in here, though? I think it is.
Probably.
Sure, but are they good enough? No. Yeah, I mean, Alec Bohm automatically, moving to first, becomes one of the, you know, three or four worst-hitting first basemen in the league.
Yep.
You know, from the jump, and
but they have the worst hitting outfield. So Bryce going out there improves your outfield offense
for sure. But again, you're Jack makes a good point. Harper at least has played the outfield, so I do think it's an easier transition for him than Turner trying to figure it out. But you're getting worse at every position, right? I mean, like, Arise is a worse second baseman than Stott. Stott, I guess you could argue Stott's as good a third baseman as Bohm. We don't know. We'll see. Bohm's a worse first baseman than Harper, and you know, right field, I guess, is like a hit or miss, if you know, depending on who's out there. So yeah.
I mean, the outfield has been an issue since they moved Harper out of the outfield. So now it's almost like they're remedying that by putting Harper back in the infield. Hugh, tell everyone who this segment's brought to you by.
This fellowship is brought to you by Xfinity, proud sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity. Imagine that.
All right, it sounds like they may have already told us what the defense is. I understand Jack's point. We'll believe when we see it, and we'll see where it goes. But it sounds like now, according to Todd Zielecki, it's Harper to the outfield, Arise at second, Bohm first.
Oh, but I was told Bryce was selfish, by the way.
Well, he brought the glove last week. He brought the glove last week.
Oh, bad teammate. Oh, but I was told not a leader. Oh, I was told wouldn't do what it took for his team. Interesting. Very interesting.
So this changes all that because he's going to go play right field?
Believe it or not, I have not started thinking about life after Bryce Harper.
Well, you should. Okay. Not today, but you should.
Not
in
today.
General. No, we've got to rise today. Okay. The other part of this, and this is the one that's going to be more fluid, and it could change all the time, is the lineup and how you structure. So if there's one, I mean, it's a small one, but if there's one downside to a rise, guys, he's another lefty, right?
Yeah.
So it makes structuring the top of the lineup more challenging for Don Mattingly. Jack, how would you do it? If you're writing the lineup card out tomorrow or tonight, if, I don't know when he's getting here, but whenever Arise gets here, what's the top of your lineup?
Yeah, so I would either bat him one or four. I like one, obviously he's the traditional, you know, pest at the top of the lineup, hopefully he works, you know, a 10-pitch at bat, fouls off a ton of pitches and gets a base hit up the middle. The camera was making it seem like he was some burner. He's got, you know, 10 stolen bases.
Yeah, he's not yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
I think he has 40 for his career.
Yeah, let's take it easy there, pal. So one or four. And, you know, one, it would be Arise, Schwarber, Harper, Turner, or Arise, Turner, Harper, Schwarber. But then you're getting less at bats with Schwarber in a game, which I don't like. If you bat him four, you keep the lineup the same. And he becomes an annoying, you know, just when you think you get through Bryce in a lineup or whatever, it's a bit of a letdown spot. Now you have to face the pest that is Luis Arise. So I would say one or four.
James?
Yeah, I assume one. You know, I think they probably just shift it down. I don't love the less at-bats for Schwarber part of it, but I think, you know, Schwarber has hit cleanup before. I think that probably is the way they'll go with Arise one, Turner two, Harper three, and Schwarber four. But I do think Jack makes a compelling case for four.
I think you guys are probably right that it's going to be one of those two things. Can I offer one more different way they could do it?
Sure.
Arise one, Schwarber two, Harper three, Turner four.
Yes.
The Turner we've seen as he's gotten hot the last couple months is not the Trey Turner that won the batting title last year. He's hitting the way he did a few years ago, where he's trying to launch the ball. He's hitting for more power, backspin, hitting home runs. Trey Turner batting fourth.
Yeah.
Actually makes some sense with the kind of Turner we're getting now.
Yes.
It's a different Trey Turner.
Yes.
And then you stack their three best hitters are Arise and Schwarber and Harper.
Yes.
I mean, Jack, if they're not facing a lefty, they probably wouldn't do it. But if they're facing a right-handed starting pitcher, remember what they did with Marsh a month ago? You kind of ambush the starter.
Yeah, one game.
Right.
One game.
But that idea now would arise in there.
I know. Yeah, no. And he's going to they're going to have to get creative, but certainly... Certainly the idea of hitting Trey four is not outlandish.
And I mean, because if you don't do that, you're either, you know, obviously you're getting less at-bats out of Schwarber, or you're putting someone that we don't trust in that four spot.
Yeah.
What about Brian De La Cruz, though? We're not, you know, I'm just
Oh, he's coming
I'm
on. Well,
I'm joking. It was a joke.
He got two home runs.
He's big home run yesterday.
In his career.
If you squint, his swing reminds you of Jason Worth.
I see it a little bit.
He got two home runs.
Who was the... who was the pitcher they had here where Gabe said if you squint, you see Cliff Lee?
Oh, well, it was Drew Smiley.
Oh, yeah, it was Drew Smiley.
Smiley actually had a few years we could pitch a little bit.
Yeah, after he left here.
That's right. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Ken and Cinnaminson up on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody
today? Good morning, Ken.
Come on, Ken. I know you're an Arise.
You've wanted to rise
Ken
for
is
years.
All-time Arise.
Oh, man.
I didn't think anybody was paying attention. So maybe that message finally got to... finally got to Dave Dombrowski. I have coveted that guy in red pinstripes for 3 years.
Yeah. Real quick, Ken, sorry, Bob Nightingale said the Phillies are also targeting Robbie Ray. So two of your guys.
Dave does love to do the two separate trades.
Angels,
with the same team.
Twins, the double
He's
trade.
He's done it multiple times. It's so weird.
It is bizarre. Go ahead, Ken.
I was just going to say, we know he likes the one-stop shop at the deadline. So, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out later today that he also plucked Robbie Ray out of San Francisco while he was on the phone with them. The galling thing is that, you know, they could have signed Luis Arise in the offseason for nothing and moved Bryce Harper back to right field where he belongs to start the season. And we'd have a whole season of Luis Arise playing first base, which is where he should play. So you're talking about moving infield pieces around. The best way to make – look, let's start here. Unless there's an injury, Trey Turner is the shortstop for this team for the rest of the season, and including any postseason that they may or may not make. Trey Turner is the shortstop. He is going to play shortstop every day unless he gets hurt. That's not going to change. So you make the defense in the infield marginally better just by putting Arise at first base where he is better than second base. He's also much better than Bohm at first base, and he's better than Bryce Harper at first base. So the easiest, most sensible move is we bring in Arise, we put Harper in right field where he's belonged for a while, and we put Arise at first base where he's most comfortable defensively. So I don't know that to the earlier point, you don't make the infield defense better by moving a bunch of pieces around and then having more than one guy at not at their natural position. You know, Alec Bohm is not Brooks Robinson, but he is not a terrible third baseman either, and he is a much better third baseman than he is a first baseman.
So, but while I understand your point, and it seemed like a couple years ago, Arise was kind of transitioning from second to first because you know he's not a fleet of foot. He's played second this year, and I don't know how these conversations work, but it seemed like the whole time during this trade period, it was coming out that he didn't want to move off a second. Now, they can do whatever they want. They could tell him just go to first. But my guess is they're trading for him with the understanding of they're just going to leave him at second for the remainder of his walk here. Because otherwise, your point would make logical sense. Like, why not do that?
Well, he's not Bryce Harper or Trey Turner.
Well, I understand.
He's going to play wherever they... He's going to play where they tell him to play because there's only two guys on the team that play where they want to play. But these teams tend to,
when you trade for a guy in his walk year, kind of go along with what he wants. I mean, guys, this is why Josh Hader didn't pitch to Bryce Harper at Bedlam at the Bank because they were doing right by Josh Hader, who was a pending free agent, that he didn't want to pitch multiple innings until he had a contract. I mean, we may think it's silly, but that's what these teams do. They trade for someone, and they say, you want to play that? All right, we'll just leave you where you want. That's why I think he's going to play second base here.
Well, I would be really disappointed, and I know, you know, the realities are the realities, but there's nothing that says you can't sign the guy beyond this year. I mean, they're not going to re-sign him now, but there's nothing that says you can't keep him. And there's no question, and this is why I've always wanted him, because he definitely changes your lineup. When you have a guy like that at the top of your lineup who never strikes out, who puts the bat on the ball, he changes your lineup. So why they would just rent him he's not going to be cost prohibitive to sign and keep here and have a guy like that, you know, potentially winning you batting titles for the next 3 years. So I understand that we're looking at it as a rental now, and nobody knows what's going to happen after the season's over with the labor dispute and how the league is going to look when it's over. While I'm thrilled that I finally got my wish and we're going to see Luis Arraez in red pinstripes, I think you're overcomplicating it by moving more than one infield piece, especially if we've finally gotten Bryce Harper to acquiesce to, yes, I am an employee of the Philadelphia Phillies, and if you tell me you need me to play right field instead of first base, I'm going to do that. So, you know, it overcomplicates things. He's got to bat leadoff. He's got to be at the top of the order. It doesn't matter. The lefty-righty thing doesn't matter to Luis Arraez. He hasn't played an inning in a Philadelphia Phillies uniform. He already leads the team in doubles. Like, the guy's a doubles machine.
Kind of like Bader last year.
He's a way better hitter than Harrison.
No, I'm just saying, when Bader got here, he was one of your better hitters when he first got here. He could hit like Bader did here last year.
Bader hit really well for the Phillies. Can't appreciate the call. All right.
Well, the easiest thing is just get off Boehm today. Like, I don't care if it's his 30th birthday. Like, congratulations on turning 30.
Oh, is it really his birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you about to do him bad on his birthday?
On his birthday, I don't care.
Nobody cares about birthdays when you're a grown-up.
Well, 30's a big one. 30's
Why
a big
not?
One.
Why?
I care about my birthday.
I'm supposed to care about Alec Boehm's
birthday. That's when that 401k kick in.
I'm supposed to care about Alec Boehm's birthday?
Listen, yeah.
Come on.
That's the easiest thing they could do today. Hopefully they just put it out as like a smoke thing in case they don't do anything else. But the easiest thing today is put Alec Boehm in a package to get out of here. And your infield is Harper, Arise, Turner, Stott.
So we're acquiring an outfielder?
Yes.
Right? That's the next step of this?
Yes. That's the goal.
Well,
if I was playing GM.
I think it's interesting how they already put it out, James. Like, to Jack's point, that this is almost like, well, if we don't do anything else, this is our team. But nothing's set in stone. I mean, Arise isn't here yet, right? He'll get here today or tomorrow. This is fluid. I mean, they could make another deal and then it doesn't end up with the way we think the defensive configuration is right now.
Yeah, look, whatever they put out, to Jack's point, I mean, remember a couple years ago Dabrowski said Ben Brown and Logan Ohapi are untouchable,
and then they were not.
A day later. Like, yeah. I'm with you. I think, and even the phrasing, when you look at Nightingale and Heyman, all these people are putting it out, it says the Phillies are planning. Mm-hmm. It's not saying the Phillies are doing this, so, like, I'm with you. I think, fortunately, it's possible this is their move for a hitter, and that is the way it plays out. But I don't think it's set in stone.
Yeah, I don't think they're done today. I can't tell if it's for a starter or a bat. I mean, teams are apparently, Joe, they're apparently calling on Nathan Eovaldi.
Now we're talking.
Let me say something that you could put in stone. You can cut it if you want. If they trade for Nathan Eovaldi, I will name my third son Nathan. I need Nathan Eovaldi.
Is Nathan on the board anyway or no?
Not it hasn't no. yet.
Okay. All
Not
right.
yet. Not yet.
I didn't know if you had inside info and you weren't
no.
telling us. Okay.
If Eovaldi is a Philly, I don't care if he's owed $24 million next year. It's gonna be prorated anyway, and he got money coming off the books. I need Nasty Nate in the postseason.
The finishing touch to Dabrowski's 18 Red Sox, Eovaldi, the trade deadline.
Oh, give me it.
Well, he come out of the bullpen in October.
Dude, I mean,
he does everything we're asking for.
Don't tempt me with a good time. He's perfect.
I'd love him here. Yeah, so we'll see where it goes. But I think starting pitcher is going to be the next domino to fall for the Phillies. What do you think about what Ken said, though? Are they over? Like, let's assume they're going to. The plan they're talking about is the plan. Are they overcomplicating this? Because it feels like Arise's agent told people in baseball he wants to stay at second, so the Phillies are just going to keep him at second. I mean, he did play first for a couple years. James, there would be less moving parts if it was just Arise to first, Harper to the outfield.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't have to touch second or third.
It would. And look, I don't want them making the decisions based on what the players want and not on what they think is best for the team. Mm. But I, like to Jack's point, I don't know that we can judge it yet and figure out where everyone's going. And Arise has played a good second base this year, so I think he's a better second baseman than he is a first baseman. So for him putting him in his best position, look, it's not going to be – it's not a perfect setup. You know, they have to – they're having to move pieces around. Ideally, I hope that they add another guy because to Jack's point – and by the way, real quick, just on the stat to third thing, like he hasn't played many games at third. Just for what it's worth. I mean, we all think he can play it, but I think
it was like very early in his rookie year.
Maybe like 10 games.
Yeah, 22,
like,
yeah.
It's not many. So like that
was that the week where Girardi benched Bohm after he said he hates it here?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It might have been.
Well, I know he started their opening
started
day.
There, yeah.
Right, and then he played it while Bohm was sitting for that week,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
So well, regardless, the point is we're just assuming Stott to third is like a no-brainer.
Well, Gelb said
I don't
it might
know
play
for
outfield.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't
Who's going to the outfield?
I just don't know that it's as clear as they're – pointing it out there.
Everyone but Trey Turner to the outfield.
Yeah, well, Gelb said that Stott to the outfield is a possibility, which is hilarious.
Yeah, take your best infielder and put him in the outfield.
It's unbelievable. All right, let's go to Dave Uram at the Surfside Free Trade Deadline Desk. Dave, maybe a little update on Nathan Eovaldi, whose name just came up here?
So we got two reports here, one from John Heyman, one from Joel Sherman. John Heyman, teams are talking to the Rangers about Mackenzie Gore, Jacob Latz, and Nate Eovaldi. Joel Sherman, Rangers are telling teams none of their players are off limits, and one player drawing interest is Nate Eovaldi. So maybe Jack can get his wish.
Yes.
And thus his third child would be named Nathan.
Also, Dombrowski, obviously, the connection with Eovaldi from Boston.
Yes.
So.
Well, and
that's interesting.
I always remember, I think it was game 3 or game 4 in L.A. in 2018.
Yep.
We came out of the bullpen in that extra inning game, pitched yep. six innings, one yep. run.
Wow.
Big game pitcher.
Huge run in the 23 postseason as well.
Yep.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Nathan Eovaldi is stones.
Massive stones. That would be a heck of a finishing piece. 215-592-9494. That is how you help. We're live today at McGurk's in Horsham. It is a trade deadline special. The Phillies have acquired Luis Arise. All right, let's go through some of the pitchers on the other side. Who's next? Who should be next with Phillies today? Starting pitchers out there. And we got to get the High Hopes guys' thoughts on what the Dodgers did. Tarek Skubal to the Dodgers on Saturday. How big of a favorite are they? How much of a chance do the Phillies have now with Arise against the Dodgers in a potential postseason series? We'll hit it next. All your phone calls. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is for Alec Bohm.
I feel like this is being sarcastic.
Get ready to learn Seattle, pal.
This will be a hell of a birthday.
Nobody cares, Hugh, about its birthday.
I mean, not to get traded on your birthday.
Oh, stop.
It's kind of messed up.
It's not. It's a trade deadline.
We can't help that.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show live from McGurk's in Horsham. It is our trade deadline special. Dave Uram at the Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka Free Agent Sales will be trade deadline desk. Used to free agency with the Eagles and our Burrs Town Hall. But it's a trade deadline, August 3rd today, a late trade deadline. All right, guys, before we get to some of the smaller names the Phillies have acquired, it's not just Luis Arise. They've acquired two relief pitchers today. Caleb Killian comes back in the Arise deal with San Francisco. Brooks Raley from the New York Mets. We're going to get to those moves and what they can mean for this bullpen. Jack's very excited to talk about Brooks Raley. But let's talk about the Dodgers and what happened on Saturday. No one is really surprised. Tarek Skubal goes from the Tigers to the Dodgers. The rich get richer. The best team in baseball land the best player available in Tarek Skubal. We're not surprised. How do you view the Dodgers now, James, compared to before? Like, how much of a needle mover is it? And how much more challenging is it now for the Phillies or anybody else to beat the Dodgers?
I mean, it's a needle mover, you know. The Dodgers became the first team getting Scoo Blues, the back-to-back Cy Young winner, to have a back-to-back MVP and a back-to-back Cy Young winner on the same team at the same time. So, I mean, it's a big deal. They already had a great pitching staff, and he becomes their best starting pitcher. So, it stinks. I think it's bad for baseball. I don't blame the Dodgers. Like, good for the Dodgers doing what they can to win. Like, I don't have an issue with it. It frustrates me knowing the CBA is coming up, how people are talking about it, how I think it's going to be used in the CBA negotiations by the owners. So I think it's a bad thing for the sport. But I just wish someone else would spend money. I wish people would be as aggressive, but it's hard to compete.
I got a question, because why aren't, like, when you talk about the money that Shohei Ohtani got and how they deferred that and potentially what they're going to do with Scooble, why don't you see other teams, in your opinion, doing stuff like that? Well, you know, like, so trying to push the money, kick the money down the can a little bit.
Yeah,
well, that's for you too, Uran. Why do you think that's the case?
I think there are a few factors. I mean, first and foremost, the Dodgers are owned by a group of billionaires. It's not just one billionaire. You know, it's the Guggenheim groups. They have, like, multiple billionaires.
The Guggenheims.
Yes.
Oh, they got bread.
And it's a lot of rich people.
It's a rich
name.
They
just have more money to be able to forecast out. Like, John Middleton, if he does a deferred money type deal like that type of thing, where what if he wants to sell the team? What if he wants – like, there are all these factors to it that change the value of a franchise based on that stuff into the future. So, like, it's just a risky proposition from an ownership perspective, and the Dodgers just have way more leeway to do those type of things because of how much money they have.
Well, they do.
Yeah, I agree with James. It probably comes down to how wealthy these owners are, and the Dodgers have the wealthiest of owners. So that speaks
kind of like the Yankees were the evil empire back in the day then, right?
Oh, yeah. And now the Dodgers are. Yeah.
It's like that, but even – I think this is even stronger.
I agree.
Because they develop players, right? They have the money, and they develop players, so they can trade wherever they want. To go off your point, James, about the MVP and the Cy Young, if you look at since 2022, lowest ERAs of starting pitchers, minimum 50 starts. They have four of the top five in their rotation. It's Scooble, Skeens, Snell, Ohtani, Yamamoto. Obviously,
nice.
Ohtani's knee plays a factor. We'll see if he pitches down the stretch. But, I mean, it's insane. I mean, that doesn't include Glasnow, who's a heck of a pitcher, too. Jack, your thought on the Dodgers landing Scooble?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a conspiracy by Major League Baseball.
Ooh, I like this.
I think
it's not crazy.
Disagree.
It's
not crazy. I think
was the Times yours call this morning? James had this.
Yeah, yeah. And Jack said it on our pod yesterday, and I was like, "Yeah, dude, it's totally possible."
Manfred made them accept this deal so that they win the World Series, and it makes it easier to fight for a salary cap in labor negotiations because it didn't seem like a super happy price. I mean, Giulio, you've been following baseball since the '80s, I assume.
'90s. I mean, I'm.
Can you name
I've
off the top?
I've been following baseball since the '80s.
Can you name off the top of your head the last time a 28-year-old was a top 70 prospect?
No.
Yeah.
River Ryan.
Yeah. It was AARP eligible.
I call BS on that.
Yeah. It's a little much. So, and the Hope kid seems pretty good, but they didn't trade one of their four best prospects for him. So I was really surprised the Brewers didn't make that deal. I mean that the Brewers. Off of what happened last year, I mean, this could have been their CC deal all over again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a bummer. I don't know. I kind of view it as I'm actually glad that the Dodgers got him and not the Brewers and the Braves because the Dodgers were already going to be a problem, and I didn't need those other teams getting that much better. So, if I'm the Phillies, I'm building my team the best way I think is possible rather than like, oh, no, the Dodgers got Scooble.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you have to just go out and build your team.
But when you see that, though,
you need to get better.
It's a little discouraging.
Yeah.
When you see what the Dodgers are doing and how they're doing, that's very discouraging.
Yeah, they got Tarik Skubal, but we got Luis Arraez, you know?
But so. To Jack's point, he brought up CeCe. Getting Skubal doesn't guarantee that the Dodgers are going to win.
No, it doesn't guarantee anything, but it makes it.
Look,
the odds are in your favor.
The Dodgers almost lost the World Series last year.
Right,
you know? So, yeah.
Well, and the difference between that comparison is that the Brewers are starting, what, Yovani Gallardo, Jeff Suppan, and who's the other guy? Oh, Ben Sheets.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of
Ben Sheets, right,
but Victorino still
not at that point.
Victorino
yes.
still hit a grand slam off of CC in Game
That's
2.
That's right, he did.
And Myers still worked a walk against. So, and the Phillies, the last time they won a series before yesterday was against Tarik Skubal and the Tigers.
This. There we go.
So
Dave.
It's not. Huh? It's it, while it makes the Dodgers infinitely better, and they're already the favorites. It doesn't guarantee them winning the World Series. And if it is collusion, as Jack
reported.
Presumes, it's collusion.
You know what I heard there from the Bulldog? He's calling a shot. The Phillies are going to rock Tarek Skubal in game one of the NLCS.
If the Dodgers lose, if they don't win the World Series, and if they lose in any of the rounds, right, then that's not a feather in the cap for the owners of Major League Baseball to say, see, that's why we need a salary.
To your point on this, Dave, not every time they make a move it leads to a championship. This is similar. They traded for Manny Machado in 18. They didn't win that World Series. They lost to the Red Sox. I mean, it doesn't guarantee them the World Series, but they were already the favorites. They got a lot better. Let's take a phone call and then talk about the relief pitchers the Phillies did acquire today. Chris in Middletown up on WIP. Chris?
Happy Dave Day, man.
Dave Day, deadline day. What's up, Chris? What are you feeling?
Guys, here's what I'm feeling here. First of all, hey, shout out to Cinnamon Ken. I was glad to hear from him. I haven't heard from him in quite a while. I thought maybe he passed over to the upper room, you know, because I know he's a little long in the tooth. So.
Very classy.
He's 60. Let's not get carried away.
Is that
here,
what you think when you don't hear from one of the regulars for a couple months? Like they're gone?
It's why I get excited every time I see Bob and Little Potsker.
That's a little bit different. Yeah.
He's older than Hugh. Let's not act like he's a young man, okay?
And Hugh's pretty old, we know. Hugh was born during NAM.
I look good, though.
Yeah.
You look attractive.
Matter of opinion, Hugh. Looks like, you know, Dumbo Dave. I'm glad he went over to Howie and took the chef's hat from him because Dave's cooking today, and we got to give him his props here. So I absolutely love the Arise trade. I mean, I can't imagine anybody who doesn't. James, I think you're a little self-doubting yourself on the lineup. You are 100% right. He's going to hit leadoff because there is no way they are going to lump Schwarber, Harper, and Arias. All three of them lined up. That's three lefties. I don't care. You could tell me until you're blue in the face about how Arias hits lefties well, and it's not the same. Harper finally hit his first home run off of a lefty since April. So it is a thing. So there's no way they're going to lump the three of those guys together. They got to be split up somehow. And having Arias hit leadoff and then Turner makes all the sense in the world. Unfortunately, that means Bohm still hits behind Harper. And I'm sorry to mention that name to you there, Jack. I'm sorry, no, actually Schwarber will hit me on him. But anyway, forget that. Guys, let's go to this Arias thing here. Not only is this guy batting .320, let's look inside the numbers. He's going to have 200 hits this season, or thereabouts. That's what our team doesn't do. Our kryptonite seems to be getting hits. And not only that, he's on pace to strike out 30 times this season.
It's remarkable. Schwarber
and Harper strike out 30 times in a week. This guy's going to do it for an entire season.
I think five Phillies have struck out more in July than Arias has struck out the entire season. I mean, it's just so different than the average hitter in baseball today. It's remarkable.
It is absolutely. And I mean, again, if you could handcraft and build a player that fits our deficiencies and that those are his strengths, it is Luis Arias. I do agree with Ken. This isn't a temporary fix. I think they're going to sign him longer because this Trey Turner experiment at shortstop, this is his last year at shortstop. I don't think they're going to move him in midseason, but after the season, he's gone at shortstop. He's going outfield, or if they can unload him and get rid of him, they will. I'm glad Dave is still continuing to make moves. There are a couple guys out there I'd like to see him still go after. Go after Clay Holmes. Go get us Luke Weaver from the Mets, but maybe we're done with the Mets. I hope they go back to it. But I want to leave you guys with a question, and then I have the question is for the top podcasters in the country. Assuming Gage Wood doesn't get traded, are we realistic to consider him a viable piece in the postseason coming out of the bullpen? Thank you for the time, man. Have a good day.
You got it, Chris. Appreciate it. What do you guys think?
It's a little tricky. I think if he stuck to being a one-inning guy, I think he could be a weapon. I do think he is starting to slow down a little bit. I mean, again, in Arkansas, he never pitched more than 40 innings in a season. He's up over 65 now, getting close to 70. His last start was not that crisp. If they asked him to only do one inning, I think he'd be really good at it. But then it comes down to, can you expect him to pitch two out of every 3 days? Can he do back-to-backs? Like, there are some hurdles that he has to jump through. But if you go get another bullpen piece, it probably takes the Gage Wood, you know, bullpen idea kind of off the table.
All right. With that, and Joe and I were discussing this a little bit last hour. The Phillies are showing a willingness right now to be pretty flexible. They didn't used to do this. Andrew Painter was pretty good on Friday night. If they acquire a starter today, do you guys put the Painter bullpen thing back on the table at all, or does he go back to the minor leagues? Like, what happens to Painter today if they get a starting pitcher?
I'm not putting him in the bullpen.
Because of his development, or you don't think he'd be good at it?
Because of the development. I think you're cutting him off at the knees a little bit. Like, if you're that desperate, I guess. But I think he has to go down to minor leagues, and I think he has to continue to show signs of life so that hopefully next year he can come up and be a part of this thing.
James, you're on the same page?
I lean that way, too, yeah. Look, if to Jack's point, if you're desperate and you think he can do it, I'm fine with it, but I would hope that they don't have to.
They've shown a complete reluctance to doing it, like for the past 2 or 3 years, right, when they had opportunities and they needed help. This, I just wonder if their flexibility, it feels a little desperate what they're doing. I mean,
I think pitching on Friday was desperate.
It was, and he actually pitched a good game for them.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about the two pitchers the Phillies acquired today. I mean, the headline is Luis Arraez, but Jack got
excited?
Here, and he wants to talk about Brooks Raley, who actually is having a wonderful season for the Mets. All right,
yes.
Let's start with Brooks Raley, left-handed pitcher from the New York Mets. He is in his, what is he, about 30? He's old. He's 38.
Like 37, I think.
But you know what? Those lefty relievers, they last forever. Jack, what do you see with Brooks Raley?
Come on, man. This is Pedro Feliciano. This is Javi Lopez. This is your old school, kind of Aaron Loopy. Hopefully it's not the Aaron Loop that we had here.
We didn't get the good Aaron Loop.
No. So he obviously has been around the block forever. He's always been a very, very solid pitcher. The nice part about him is that he doesn't really walk many guys. Mm-hmm. So him being a, you know, with Alvarado kind of being a question mark, Alvarado's probably still your high leverage lefty. But instead of it being Meza or Tanner Banks or Backes, going from those guys to Brooks Raley is one of the biggest upgrades they could have made at the deadline. It is massive, and especially given some of the lefties they might have to face in the potential postseason. You know, like Olson, Yelich, if they have to.
Muncy, who kills them.
Muncy, Ohtani, obviously. Although we own Muncy. Or oh, we own Ohtani.
They do own Ohtani. Yeah.
Muncy owns us.
But they can't get Muncy out.
They can't get Muncy out. And he gives you the ability, if they want to use him in the, like, let's say a guy can only go five, you know, use him early in a game and shut the door there rather than having to burn one of your leveraged lefties. And hopefully Alvarado is again, he's showing good signs of life, so him in the back end can hold. But Raley being there early Raley being a part of the mix now is really big.
He's holding lefties to 186 average this season. I mean, he really shuts lefties down. All right, how about Caleb Killian from the Giants?
Because
he's the second piece in that deal. People are going to just forget he's here. But, you know, I think you mentioned earlier, Jack, it's a little bit like the Bolin thing where he's a little older, but there's some stuff there.
There is. Yeah, no, he reminds me a lot of Bolin. 5 years of control left. He bumped his K rate from 15% to 28% this year. He was more of a starting prospect that is kind of now being transitioned into a bullpen role. Mm-hmm. He's up to 98, which is intriguing, with a little bit of cut to it, and has like a knuckle curve off of it. So he's not someone who you immediately insert as a high leverage guy, but he's someone with pretty premium stuff that you give to Caleb Gotham and go, and you expect them to get a good pitcher there. And if they wanted to, and I hope they explore it today, but it would open up the possibility, if they wanted to trade Orion Kirkring.
Oh, I'd be for that. James, I can't trust him in any spot.
Totally. And look, he is one of those guys where you look at the numbers, and it seems like every year the numbers don't tell the full story. Last year was the inherited runners. You know, this year it's big spots. And just in general, obviously we know the biggest moment that went awry for him last year to end the playoffs. But just his playoff, the 3 years he's been here, he's been bad in the playoffs. Like, he has not been a good playoff performer for them, and he has yet to really come through in a big spot. So, yeah, I don't have faith in him.
Do you guys expect that the starting – let's go off the idea they're going to trade for a starting pitcher today. Do you expect them to get a starting pitcher they think can be a relief pitcher in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yes. I think they have to, because I like these guys they brought in today, but they're still – it still feels like they could use one more something out of the bullpen, and that feels like it's going to be the guy they trade today to help them just get to the playoffs as a starter.
Yeah, my biggest fear off of Friday was Painter comes up, pitches well, and you hear Dave tonight at about 6:06.
He's a trade deadline acquisition?
Well, I can already hear his voice saying, we really like how Andrew threw the ball on Friday. Friday night. And it's like, okay, I understand. But it's like when they did this with Tyler Phillips a couple of years ago.
Oh, that didn't work.
Where they didn't go and get another starting pitcher because they thought Tyler Phillips was going to be good
enough. Well, he did shut down Cleveland that one Saturday.
Well, he pitched on Saturday, threw a complete game shutout against the Guardians. And Dave's like, there's our guy. So, Yes, I think for insurance, for protecting yourself a little bit, and letting Andrew Painter develop at AAA before maybe bringing him up. I do getting a starter that could be your that could theoretically start a game for, and also transition to the bullpen would be big. I think they were in on Jose Soriano, and he went for Arjun Namala, who I think is really really good prospect. So I think they are out there for one of these starters. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in on Casey Mize, who seems like he's going to get dealt.
Detroit.
They are. I think that they're going to try to get a starting pitcher today.
James, do you have a guy, a starter? Like, if you could circle one. I mean, obviously you want the best one. But, like, if you could circle one and say, you know what, I'd like to have that guy here.
I mean, Evaldi just got brought up. But to that point, I mean, the names, like, he mentioned Soriano, but Clay Holmes.
I like Clay Holmes a lot.
I mean, Clay Holmes has closed games in the major leagues, and obviously pitched well as a starter, too. So, obviously I want the best guy they can get for a good price, in general. But I think it has to be someone who they feel confident can switch the ball.
You know what, Jack, I'm kind of curious. You said to mention the name Casey Mize. Aren't you kind of – wasn't he on the IR? Like, wasn't he hurt at least twice?
Yeah, he's back.
He's back now?
Yeah, he's had a couple injuries.
Yeah, but are you concerned a little bit about the injury history?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But, I mean, he is – like, this year when he's pitched, he's pitched well. He's been very good.
Okay.
And he's in a walk year, so he's going to want to get out there and pitch and all that stuff.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, the injury concern's real, but – I think it's a risk that I'd be willing to take, I guess.
Well, of all the injury guys, the one that feels like the least you worry about is Holmes, right? He broke his leg. He had the fibula, whatever it was. I mean, once that heals. I mean, I saw the Phillies were at his rehab start.
Mm-hmm.
It was either last night or the night before. I mean, guys, he has 74 career saves in the major leagues.
I know.
Like, that's a guy that it wouldn't shock me if they trade for Clay Holmes. He starts for them for 2 months, and then he's pitching the eighth inning of a playoff game.
He could do it.
He's done it.
If it's not Evaldi, I like Clay Holmes a lot.
It fits. It really fits. Plus, it's another team that Dave's already traded with, and he can go back to the well.
Yeah.
I've never seen a GM do it like it.
It's so weird. I pointed it out the last few years. It's so strange. And it does make sense, your point, that they're talking about guys. He knows what they think of his guys, what he thinks of theirs, all that stuff. But to the point you made, why not just do a big deal with all the guys? Like, it's crazy.
It's almost like you leave, because someone said called it double dipping. No, it's like you shop at a store, you leave the store, go right back
and come
store.
Back.
I forgot something.
Yeah, right. You got a phone call? Did you get this? No, I forgot. You go right back in.
Yes.
Let's go to Jack in Norristown up on WIP. Jack.
Hello, guys. How we doing?
Jack.
What's up, man?
Doing well. We got Luis Arraez. What are you thinking?
No, it's great, man. I love it. But we only got to make two moves. Move Harper to right field, Arraez to first base.
So he's you're like Ken. You want to put him at first and keep everyone else basically where they are.
Yeah, Stott's too great. That guy's a great second baseman, man. The plays he makes and all. Bohm's gotten better at third. Turner, what are you going to do? We're stuck with him. He's not going to move. But Bohm's improved a lot. You got to play defense, man. You still got to play defense. But Arraez is a great pickup. And another thing nobody's mentioned, Crawford, that ninth, that kid's going to get on base now. He's got his average up to 260. Then we got Arraez following him. They're going to score more runs. That's what they need. And you got to bat Schwarble. You got to bat him fourth. You can't put him up there with them guys. He strikes out too much. He's going to set a record for this year for strikeouts, probably. I think he got already over 160. So that's the move you got to make. That's the way I see it. And
well,
Jack, I don't know why you want to get rid of Bohm. Bohm's a great player, man.
Jack.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Well, we got a ton of
you
down.
You're a great player?
Yeah, he's going to. It's all the RBI
player.
Heads.
Not a great player. I made a mistake there. Well, he's good. he's a good player. He improved a lot of third base, and we got to keep him. And we're putting our eggs in the basket this year. That's what we have to do. I ain't worried about next year. Next year's next year.
That's right. We're in the moment. Jack, we appreciate your phone call. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he corrected himself on the great player, so we didn't have to.
It's just like he's such a mopey crybaby. I can't deal with it for the playoffs for the third straight year.
Just tired of it now.
For the vibes, a Kirkering and Bohm deal out of here would really change the tenor of the vibe.
It'd be remarkable. It'd be remarkable. It would lift the spirits of the city on this rainy day.
Do you know what's amazing? We go through all this, all these moves they make. Bohm's still probably going to hit fifth in a playoff game, isn't he?
And they're going to extend him.
No.
He's inevitable.
No.
He's never leaving.
10 years from now, It's his 2,000th hit as a Philly, and we're like, oh, my God.
It's going to be Nola all over again. You know, Nola ends his career with over 2,000 strikeouts. But at least
there were some highs with Nola, right? There was some
Cy Young
finishes.
First half, 24 bone.
Okay, first half. And I got Hugh over here still calling him an all-star all these years later.
He was an all-star.
Nobody cares.
He really should have went this year.
He should not have.
Yeah,
just
because
you
voted
five times
voted
a day
for
to make me upset.
Dave, I voted for him five times.
Alec Boehm, you voted for him. It didn't work.
Didn't work.
Made a mockery of the voting. But you did. I mean, you did get him to the final round of it.
Yeah, I did. I did. I did my magic. I did the best I could.
If you have one more all-in-ish type move, is it for a starting pitcher or an outfielder?
Starting pitcher. That could transition to the bullpen in October.
Let's say, would you rather have Nathan Eovaldi or Randy Arozarena?
Arozarena.
Well, Arozarena is a higher level performer right now. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Tough one.
You know, if I could put Arozarena 5 in the lineup and get Boehm to the bottom or out of here, okay, Arozarena.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's a playoff performer, too.
He has. You know what? If they go, let's just lay it out before you guys leave, and we thank you for being here this hour. Arise, Turner, Harper, Schwarber, or Arozarena?
That'd be...
Now we're cooking.
Take that, Tarek Skubal. Ha! Good luck.
Tarek, all right, thank you. High hopes, guys. Jack Fritz and James Seltzer. Appreciate you guys being here for the hour, and we shall see where the Phillies go next. But Luis Arraez is in. All right, 215-592-9490. We're coming up next. Al Morgani will join us, and the voice of the Phillies, Scott Fransky, in the building. Plus, I heard the Fanatic is on his way to McGurk's and Horsham. Come on out. We're live at McGurk's and Horsham for trade deadline day. Luis Arraez of the Phillies, your take. Does this move the needle for the Phillies? We'll discuss it all. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Baseball season's in full swing, and there's no better place to be than Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Well, you got to look right now at the Major League Baseball chances to win it all, which obviously continue to fluctuate and change during the MLB trade deadline day. I'll tell you, a team in Boston to win the AL that I've been looking at, I mean, that team has been incredible for the past couple weeks. It would not surprise me at all if the Red Sox are in the World Series representing the American League. Right now, Boston, 18% chance to win the AL. $100 payout on $100 trade on Boston would pay out $525.39. On Kalshi, you're trading its peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you can buy in and out of your position. Download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get up to $500 of bonus credits when you trade 25. KALSHI Kalshi, trade on anything. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.